chapter 40 of Genesis. And again, remember, this is not a history book. This is about our lives. And we need to see how these things relate to our lives, correct? God didn't write this to keep some history book so we could remember some of these people live, because it's not important about their life. It's about the principles that they teach in their life. And now, while we're on the subject of principles and teaching in lives, if I am going to be a man of God, or you're going to be a man of God or a woman of God, your point is to be just as God. Is that true? Well, if he was a teacher, guess what you got to be? I'm not talking about teaching and preaching the word. I'm talking about living your life and teaching people. Every one of these men and women in this book was examples to teach, whether positive or negative. They're teachers, and we're all teachers. Parents teach your children every day. Don't send them to church and expect some preacher who don't know what he's talking about most of the time anyway to train your kids on how they should live their life in 1 hour when you've got them the rest of the week. It won't happen. It's got to be a constant reinforcing about the truth. Constant, constant, constant. If you continue in my word, you'll be my disciple. Don't read it once and say it's over with. Don't send them to church and trust somebody else to teach your children. You raise your children the way they're supposed to go, correct? It's a discipline over and over and over until they get it and understand in their mind, this is the way Father wants it. See? That's how we do it. So we're not worried about anything else. We're trying to put this into perspective of our lives today. I'll start by reading it. And it came to pass after these things that the butler, the king of Egypt, and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers and the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said to him, we have dreamed the dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine there were three branches. And it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and gave the cup to Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up your head and restore thee into thy place. And you shall deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, after the former manner when you was his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with you, and show kindness, I pray you, to me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of his, what? His house, that is house. And indeed, excuse me just a second, I've seen something I need to do. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and there also have I done nothing that should put me into prison. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. And yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up your head from off you, and shall hang you on a tree, and the birds shall eat the flesh off of you. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, which he made a feast unto all his servants, he lift up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now let's go back and see what the interpretation of this is. How can we apply this to our lives? And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt, and that word butler literally should be a cupbearer, of the king of Egypt and his baker or his cook had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Who is this? Who's the butler and the baker? They're servants in the house under the king, one king. Let me draw a picture in your mind mentally so it'll fit for the rest of the story. There was a hill one time outside of Jerusalem called what? Golgotha, the place of the skull. And there was somebody on this tree in the middle of two other guys. Wonder who the one in the middle was. And who's the other two? Representative of Satan and of Adam, okay? And the butler and the baker here is a story of Adam and Satan, the carnal mind. Now, when you see this, then it'll start to flow together. And Pharaoh was wroth or angry against two of his officers, the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. Now, the cupbearer is who? Who would the cupbearer be? It would be Adam. And the baker is the carnal mind. Okay, Satan, the Satan. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, or the dungeon, right? But look at what he did. He put them in a prison. And isn't that man's religious ways? If you offend them, what do they do to you? They want revenge. They extract revenge. Okay, God doesn't work that way, does he? This is the natural mind working. He put them into the dungeon, the place where Joseph was bound. Now, how did Joseph get there? Well, not really. There we go. Who put Joseph in this mess? Okay. But Joseph knew this, didn't he? Okay. Everybody thinks, well, his brothers did it. When Joseph comes back later on, we'll find out when Joseph said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. God sent me here to get me straightened out. See, how many people understand that? They don't understand the processing of God, so they automatically blame somebody externally. Don't blame me by external, because the one that puts you in there is the one internal in you. God puts you into this mess. It says in Ecclesiastes 3, 9 and 10, that God placed the world in the heart of man so they couldn't know the end from the beginning. God put us in a test. He's not trying to teach you anything. He's trying to let you remember what you had before the foundation of the world. He wants you to know that you're a son of God. He's trying to show you what you're really made of. He knows what you're made of. You don't know what you're made of. And that's what he's trying to tell you. You are my son. You have the same qualities that I have. Don't believe what culture and nature has taught you. This nurturing thing. Don't believe it. Don't believe what the world has put into it. Because what I say is truth, what they say is not. Simple as that. And it was the place where Joseph was bound. Who sent Jesus into this world? Didn't he put himself into humanity? Huh? There's the boundary right there. There's the binding up. He was bound in human flesh. He left all his deity and came down in a body of flesh, didn't he? John 1, verse 14. He became flesh and dwelt among us. Same way we are, no different. The Christ is in you and Christ is in me, and we're bound up and we got to get out of this prison, don't we? It's not by dying we're talking about either. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. Now look here. He gave him oversight. Isn't that Jesus? Isn't that the Christ? Here, he's in prison. He said, hey, you're the boss. You're the one that's showing discipline here. You have the authority to run this place, even though you're in prison. Isn't that where we're at? And what did he do? He said, all right, boys, get the brooms and the mops. Did he say that? What did it say he did? He served them. Jesus never came to be served, but he came to serve. See, there's the pattern. It's all about him serving us. It's about us serving humanity. Not in the way that they want it, but the way Father wants it. We come to serve them. We're a gift to humanity. Didn't Paul write in Ephesians, he said there, he gave gifts unto humanity? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. See? That's what he gave as gifts. We're gifts to the body of Christ. And they continued a season in the dungeon house. That word ward literally is dungeon house. So he kept them in a dungeon, in a dark place. Not much understanding, huh? Dark, damp, cold, even in the desert. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream, in one night or the same night, says in the NAS and the NIV and the Living Bible, both, all three say it, in the same night. Each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the dungeon. Okay? And Joseph came to them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were what? They were sad. Why are they sad? They have trusted in their own abilities to control and do everything, haven't they? And they have failed. Now, whether there was a legitimate reason, it doesn't say, does it? Did they really do something, or was it just somebody said something wrong? You know, they don't know. What does the verse, the chapter of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 say? Be anxious for nothing, but in all things give thanks unto God. Now, if I give thanks for all things, would I ever be sad? If you thank God for everything in your life, would you ever be low of countenance? That's what's wrong with us. We're looking at situations and saying, it's good today because nothing bad has happened. But sometimes the bad things are the best things that could ever happen to us in our lives. Isn't it true? There's two men sitting in this room right here that had some bad things happen, and they had to crack your chest open and take your heart out, stop your heart, and fix it, didn't they? Was that a good thing? No, but it brought about a good thing, didn't it? It was a bad thing that happened that brought about something good. Had it not happened the way it was, you might not have been here today. See, there's good things in everything. You've got to learn to see that silver lining that God has in everything going on. Not looking at the moment, the immediate circumstance, but take the big picture in. That's why we miss so much of life. We're looking through a little narrow tunnel at life. And life is bigger than we are. And we're not looking at everything we should be looking at. We're only looking at the path that's right in front of our foot. What's out down there? Way on out down there somewhere. Think about what there is out there besides right in front of our nose today. No, they didn't trust in God. You said they remained there, didn't they? They continued in for a season in the ward. And after Joseph looked at them and saw they were sad and they weren't giving thanks to God, were they? He asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the prison house of his Lord, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly, or why is your face sad? We could say, have you ever read Philippians 4, 6, and 7? Huh? Of course, most people wouldn't understand that. But why should I be sad when God brought this in my life to help me? He wasn't doing anything to me. He was doing it for me. See, they don't. The sunrise. The day star was rising up. Now, and all this is showing you is just like the parable of the sower. Some seed fell by the roadside. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell on good ground that's choked out by the cares of the world. Some fell on good soil and brought out 30, 60, 100 fold. The one thing constant in that whole parable is what? One constant in the whole parable, the seed. See, the Word of God's not bad, but if you don't have ears to hear it, it can bring life or death in the power of this tongue, can it? The same Word that brings life to some brings death to others because they don't hear. Okay? And the same thing going on here. It brought life to Adam, but to carnal mind, death. And they said to him, we have dreamed a dream and there is no interpreter of it. Isn't that normal? If I had a nickel, for every time somebody said, I had a dream, can you tell me what it means? Well, maybe I can and maybe I can't. But what's the answer? God gave it to you, let him interpret it. I might take you down the wrong path, mightn't I? If God gave you the dream, who should be interpreting it? Nothing wrong with talking about it, but God is the interpreter. See, and if God gives it to you, then fine. But if not, don't go volunteering and jumping up and run out trying to interpret somebody's dream. Because all you're going to do is mislead them. Because if God don't want them to have it, if he wants them to think about it for a while, then why should I be bothered? But if he wants to give it to me and I know he's giving it to me, then I'll give it to somebody. Don't volunteer, is what I'm saying. This is a drafted army, all draft. He said, we've dreamed a dream and there's no interpreter. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to who? Guess what this word is? Elohim, the plurality of God. It's not talking about God the Father. He said, the dreams are coming. See, who's doing all this work? See, the servants, the sons of God. It's not about God. God is the thought process. He's not the action of it. The action of it is the Elohim. That's why he created sons. That's why Jesus said, the work that I did, you're going to do greater works. It's the Elohim. It's the plurality of God. It's a many-membered body, not one person. See? That's why it's going to be this way. And he was speaking to the Elohim about the Elohim. And that's what Jesus said. You know, you're going to do more works than I did. He said, tell me now. He said, they belong to Elohim. Tell me now. What was Joseph saying? He said, it belongs to Elohim. Tell me now. I am part of that Elohim. Isn't that right? Now, you tell people you're part of that Elohim today, and they say, well, you're stone crazy. Well, I'm about as crazy as Joseph was. Ain't you? I'm not ashamed to say who I am. I'm a son of God. I'm part of this Elohim. I'm not playing a game with this thing. I'm not looking for notoriety. I'm just saying the truth. I'm part of the Elohim. If you don't think you're part of the Elohim, then why would anybody be trying to hear about tabernacles or Mount Zion or the Holy of Holies? Because that's where it's at. See, that's the Elohim. Didn't we just read in that verse in Micah what he was going to do? He was going to take the outcast, what, Micah 4 and 7? He'd take the outcast and make them first fruit. See? That's what it is. He can work with them because the rest of them is too proud. Okay? Let's go into verse 9. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine. What's this vine all about? In my dream, a vine with three branches. What's the vine? Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine. Hello. So he said, Christ is in your life, Adam. Well, say, I can go back to Genesis 2, 7 and show you where he came into his life. When Adam was formed from the dust of the earth and breathed the breath of God into him, that was the Spirit of God coming into him. And from that point on, humanity has had Christ. They just didn't believe it. They were in ignorance. And God protects them all through this time. And when it's time for the sun to rise, guess what? In the morning it'll come up. And Christ will come up in everybody he's supposed to show up in. Right? And they all don't come up on the same day. Okay? That's why he comes every day. He's continually coming. And in the vine there were three branches, speaking of the three realms of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, the three feasts, the three covenants. And it budded and blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth what? Mature grapes, mature fruit. The only thing that can bring forth mature fruit is mature sons. A tree that is mature. New trees coming up don't have fruit, do they? They got to mature before they can bring forth mature fruit. Takes some time. In Isaiah chapter 5, it said, he planted a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, Mount Zion. Well, see, he planted the fruit, the seed, he planted in every vessel, true or false. He planted in every vessel, but guess what? When he looked for fruit, guess what he got? He looked for grapes, he got wild grapes, poisonous, stinking berries. And see, that's what the world has given God today in return for all he's given them. They've given him back poisonous, stinking berries. They think their understanding of something is better than God's understanding. I don't believe so. It'd be like taking and buying a Mercedes and taking it back to a Chevrolet dealer to get it repaired. They don't know what's wrong with it. They don't know how it was made, do they? Carnal man does not understand carnal man because carnal man didn't create himself. Elohim did. Okay? So he's the one that's going to straighten it out. And wouldn't you say when you brought forth those clusters of ripe grapes, there's going to be some wine involved there? Some real good juice come out of there, isn't it? And that's the revelation of God. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, And I took the grapes and squeezed them. Romans 8:20. Does anybody know what it says? The whole creation was subjected to vanity, not willingly, but the same was subjected in hope. Okay? This man has got a revelation here. This man got a vision of his life. This man got a revelation of God in his life. Okay? He realized, just as Joseph had a dream, and Joseph went and told his dream to someone else and got in trouble, didn't he? These same men both had dreams. This cupbearer got a revelation that God was going to use him. God was going to restore him. That's the revelation of the natural man. God is going to use me, but he's not going to use my baker, my cook, who is the carnal mind. He's going to use me, but not my carnal mind. He is going to be destroyed. He's going to be cut off. And he said, I pressed the grapes or squeezed them into the Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. We didn't have a choice about this. We were all subjected to vanity, not willingly, but with hope, okay? And yet within 3 days shall, and as Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, the three feasts, you know, the three covenants, dust, sand, stars. They're all within you. This is all an internal work. And yet within 3 days, there's the three things again, shall Pharaoh lift up your head and restore you into your place. Now, what was he lifting up there in his head? Yeah, what? Now tell me something else about it. He was putting on the mind of Christ. He was bringing things back to remembrance in you. See, this is our pattern. And he will restore you to your place. Didn't God say to Job in Job, Job, weren't you right there with me when the morning stars sang together? Huh? Wasn't you right there with me? He's restoring us back to where we were before the foundation of the world in him. And you shall deliver Pharaoh's cup to his hand after the former manner when you was his butler or his cupbearer. I could break down the 3 days a whole lot more right now. I'm not going to. We should know enough about that already. If not, we should do some study on our own. But think on me when it shall be well with you, and show kindness, I pray you, to me, and make mention of me to Pharaoh, and bring me out of this dungeon. Okay? What's he saying? I see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Take this cup from me if possible. Remove this cup from me. Remove this flesh from me. See? This is the pattern we got to see. We got to understand that God's doing something here in our lives. And this is the natural man crying out, take this flesh from me. Wouldn't it be wonderful if he just took it away? Do you think he was really crying out of his spirit? That was his flesh crying out, saying, get this stuff off of me. Don't work that way, does it? It just don't work that way. We have to experience this through life, and life will take care of removing it through our experience. He wanted somebody to help him get out of the dungeon. Because indeed I was carried away out of the land of the Hebrews. Now, what does the Hebrews mean? One from beyond. He said, I've been carried from beyond to here. Was I subjected to this willingly? Did any of y'all say, hey, Father, would you send me down and put me in that mess? It wasn't our choice. God did this thing for us. And see, he did it for us, not to us. He's helping us learn. See, confidence is a wonderful thing. And most people misinterpret confidence in the spiritual realm as arrogance. Confidence means you know what you're talking about. You know what you're doing. You know who you are. You know you're a son of God. You're not listening to somebody tell you you're a son of God. And I would love to have a dollar for every someone asked me, am I in the third day? Am I a son of God? Am I in tabernacles? Same thing. See? If you will have this personal relationship with God, then I don't have to do it for you. Isn't that right? I'm trying to help you understand God wants you and him to have the same relationship that I have with him. You help? Can you hear what I'm saying? He wants you to be able to do what I'm doing. Not that you go out and preach to everybody. That's not what everybody's called to do. But you can have the same relationship. You can have that same relationship that you and him can talk. And whenever I say something, it's not me putting something in you, but it's me witnessing something that God has already placed within you. So you can say, all right, this is what God's been showing me. Now I see it. I hear it all the time, don't we? From people all over the country, all over the world. They say, this is what God has showed us for years, but nobody had the guts to stand up and say it. Had a man down in Kentucky years ago who said, thank God for Eastern Kentucky. Thank God that you've got enough guts to stand up and say what everybody else is afraid to say. I'm not afraid to say it. You know why? Because my life is not in their hands. My life's in God's hands. There's nothing to worry about anymore. Once you got free, you don't have to worry about it. I know they can do nothing to me without God's permission. And I'm not done yet. And when I'm done, go ahead and get it over with. You want to shoot me? Shoot me. If that's what God wants out of me, if he's ready to move me on, I'm not going to withhold myself from the kingdom. Are you? I'm ready to go whenever he wants me to be there. So don't be worrying about it. Just do what you got to do. It says he's stolen from the land of Hebrews, and that's the spirit realm. And also I have done nothing, right, to put me into prison. Let me read you what it says in Hebrews 9:13, okay? Hebrews 9:13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling to the unclean sanctifies to the purifying the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot, or literally unblemished, to God, cleanse your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? So this calls he's the mediator of the New Testament. His blood cleansed me. Nothing I can do, is there? His blood took care of the cleansing. He has done nothing. He was without blemish. He was a spotless lamb, wasn't he? A spotless sacrifice. Well, guess what we got to be? Same thing. And this ain't a list of don't do this and do that. That's not what I'm talking about. Don't try to say I can live under the Ten Commandments because you're lying to yourself if you think you can even get close to it. You can't do it. If you offend in any part of the law, you're guilty of what? The whole law. Don't try to live under the law, because the book says you live under the law, you're cursed. And I know he reversed the curse when he died on the cross. I don't have to worry about it no more. No guilt, no condemnation in Christ, correct? Okay, walk that way. Don't worry what someone thinks about you or what somebody might think about you. Just worry about one person. What does your Father think about you? And you should know that he loves you. If he loves you, what difference does it make what anybody else does? That's all emotion, all five of them senses. Suffer for righteousness' sake, don't worry about it. That's well-pleasing unto God. Where'd I leave off here? Help me. 16. Okay, they said they have done nothing, that I have done nothing that they should put me into prison or the dungeon. See how he said dungeon there? All them other words, prison, house, all that same thing. Ward should be dungeon. What literally should be dungeon. Did he do anything to be put on in prison? Wasn't Jesus thrown into a dungeon? So was a lot of other men because of this truth. He did nothing to go there. He wasn't a murderer, but they killed him as a murderer among the thieves. He was numbered amongst the transgressors, according to the scripture. Verse 16. And when the chief baker saw the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also, it was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. Now that's not what it says in the language. It says, I had three baskets of white bread on my head. Y'all know today, white bread ain't good for you. So it's a negative. Everybody thinks, well, it's white. Oh, it's got to be righteous. Something good going on. Well, I don't think so, unless it's righteous judgment. But there was three baskets of white bread upon his head. And in the uppermost basket, there was all manner of baked food for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. That doesn't sound good, does it? In the parable of the sower, what come along and got all the seed? The bird. That's in the parable of the sower. That's in Matthew 13:4-18, and Mark 4:4-14, and then Luke 8:5. Now we know the birds are talking about the carnal thoughts of your mind eating up the truth, the spirit. And Joseph responded. The word answer should be responded. Joseph responded and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Guess what? God is no respecter of persons. They both had three things to deal with, didn't they? Some can hear and some can't. Some can put on the mind of Christ, some can't. Whose choice is that? God. So why should I be upset with someone if God's not using him in a positive way? Got no reason to be upset with anybody. There's all kinds of people say, oh, I've got a hold of this thing, and 2 weeks later they ain't here. Where they at? They tried, and you give them an A for effort, but it's not about effort, is it? God doesn't want sacrifice. He wants obedience. It's all about obedience. And if people are not disciplined in their natural life, do you think for one moment they're going to be disciplined in the spiritual realm? It's an effort. If it was easy, everybody would just be walking through this thing, wouldn't they? It's difficult. And until Jesus walked it through, there was no room for anybody else. You remember in the parable in Luke 17 about the two men in the earth? One was what? And one was, okay, there was two men. Who do you think that is? Well, it was Adam and Christ. It was and Adam was taken away. The last Adam died. Christ remained in the earth. There was a lot of those about the one, two women doing this and that. All those parables about two in the earth. But there can only be one remaining there, isn't there? Okay. And the only one left is who? Christ. And Adam being restored is Christ. And he says, the three baskets are 3 days. And yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up your head from off you and shall hang you on a tree, and the birds shall eat the flesh off of you. There was Adam dying on the cross. There was the carnal mind dying. He said, in 3 days you're gone. You know why? Because everybody's got 3 days in them. Not just two people, but everybody. The positive and the negative has 3 days. In 3 days, you've got three realms to go through. And in three realms, if you hear what God is saying and God is speaking to you, guess what? You're going to be restored. And if you're not, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have your head lifted. One was lifted for honor, and the other was lifted to separate it from his body. Right? Hanged him on a tree. Wasn't Jesus the last Adam? His body was the one that was hanged on the tree for you and I. And guess what? The other one became restored, didn't he? The same day. What does it say in the Revelation 13? They lived by the sword, and they died by the sword, and they were restored by that same sword in Revelation 13. Who was that? By the word of God. The sword being the word of God. And in Genesis 2:17, what happened? He said, don't eat of this tree, because if you do, you'll surely die. That same word of God killed him, and the other word of God restored him on the day of the cross when he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. One lost his head, the other was restored. It's the same pattern all the way through the book. It's a good thing he lost his head, absolutely. Absolutely a good thing. And the birds shall eat your flesh from off of you. You know what will kill you quicker than anything? Those carnal thoughts in your head. That's the birds. Those are the things that will kill you. And they'll kill your flesh instantly. They'll just get right on you and eat you up. And it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday. In the third day, that he made a feast to all of his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Don't you know, he went into the bowels of the earth for 3 days, didn't he? Took a while, didn't it? Now, when he came back after them 3 days, he was resurrected. He walked on the earth for 40 days, didn't he? How many people recognized him? How many people remembered him? Huh? They don't care. Because they say, hey, you got the monkey off my back. What do I got to worry about anybody else now? It's not about me. It's about we. Isn't it? And they're still thinking about me. They're still thinking about the we-off. I mean, not the we-off, but the ego of man, the I world. And they're still thinking that way. And see, when you think that humanity is going to turn and think about you, guess what? You're kidding yourself, because they forgot him, and they're still forgetting him today, and we're just entering into the third realm. Guess what? In this third day, there's a lot of rejection. Even when he come on the resurrection, was he accepted? They're going to forget you. Don't worry about that. That's not important. Because the one thing that will never be forgotten is the love of your Father. His love endures for how long? Forever. What I got to worry about that for? My Father says He loves me. Do I ever have to doubt that? If I doubt it, it's got to be my carnal mind, because God doesn't lie. My mind could lie. Yours might lie. But you know what? God can't lie. He's not a man. He is perfect in all His ways.